Thank you, Pastor. What a blessing to be here tonight. Amen. I appreciate the good meeting, and thank you for allowing me to come. We've certainly enjoyed the great preaching of the Word of God and the good singing that exalted our Savior. By the way, that's what it's about. Brother Jack Tripp started out on Monday night, and he talked about the manifestation of the presence and power of God, and he illustrated it with the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And I'm grateful that we had a good start on Monday night. And then Brother Arthur got up and talked about the revelation of Christ in the resurrection and the infallible proofs of his, and he reminded us that he's still living. Amen. And then Dr. Simpson came last night, and he talked about the incarnation, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Dr. Arthur again last night talked about the demonstration of the resurrected Christ in restoration. He cares about the backslider. He cares about the broken. He cares about the bewildered. And I want to say to you, he cares about you. And I don't know what your need might be tonight, but he specializes in meeting the need of his young'uns. Amen? Amen? By the way, I'm glad he's the same God today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same forever. Amen? Amen. Someone said, Willie Borgenfield said this. He said Jesus was the highway builder back at the Red Sea. He was the undertaker at Moses' funeral. He was the zookeeper when Daniel was in the den of lions. He's the fire chief when the Hebrew boys was in the fiery furnace. And he was, he was the high sheriff that released Peter from prison down in Jerusalem. And he was a speed cop that arrested Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And I thought I'd tell you, he's still the same today. He lives in you and he lives in me if you're saved by the marvelous grace of God. I invite your attention tonight to two passages of Scripture. Paul said, I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm looking at the book of Colossians chapter 1 and also the book of Ephesians chapter number 3. At Colossians chapter number 1 and Ephesians chapter number 3. And I'll read the scripture, won't ask you to stand, but I'll read the scripture, you'll follow along with me. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 25, Paul said, and by the way, I'm grateful that he's not only interested in seeing souls saved, that was his heartbeat, amen, but he's also one who established churches, and he's trying to get these that have been saved by the grace of God and those are in local churches to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's one thing to win somebody to Christ, but it's another thing to disciple them. Amen. I'm afraid that we're delinquent in that department. You're welcome. And so in the book of Colossians chapter 1, he said in verse number 25, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. And he said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you back up with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and let me put in verse number 14. And Paul again is writing to the believers at Ephesus, and he said this. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Let me put it on pause there and say that's the only two places that the family of God are, either in heaven or on earth. No pit stop, no limbo, no purgatory. Hey, I'm saying to you, either in heaven or on earth. That's the whole family of God. Brother Jim Pruitt passed on to be with the Lord. I had classes with Brother Jim and I. We had classes together back in Bible school a long time ago. But I'm grateful for his ministry and how God used him. And then Mrs. Hugh Powell passed away Sunday morning. And Brother Hugh Powell is so weak, they tell me, that he's so weak he's not sure he'd even be able to go to his wife's funeral. But please pray for those families. But notice he said the whole family of God which is in heaven or on earth is named. He said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Would you pray with us? Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. I ask for the anointing of the Spirit of God. We are conscious tonight that we can be no help or blessing to anyone apart from thee. And so the best we know how, we give ourselves to thee. I pray that you would fill us with your power. You said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we're asking you by faith to fill us tonight. I pray that you might demonstrate your power, that you might accomplish your purpose. And Lord, may this be profitable time. I do pray tonight for these families in bereavement. I pray for Brother Jim Pruitt's family that you would comfort their heart. I pray for Dr. Pyle tonight that you might bless him. And Lord, others that are hurting and have special need, may your perfect will be done in each of our lives. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Now, I'm interested in this thought tonight. I want to preach on the Christ-filled life. We've heard about Christ being, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And by the way, I'm talking about the Christ-filled life. Jesus Christ did not die upon the cross to play second fiddle to anybody or anything. He's to be the Lord of our life. By the way, I believe this. I believe when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ is placed in a preferred position in every affair of life. Amen. I believe this. I believe that we as God's children, when we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. You got just as much of the Holy Spirit the day you got saved as you'll ever have. Amen. But our problem tonight is the Spirit of God doesn't have all of us. And so I'm preaching tonight on the Christ-filled life. Christ in you, that's the central mystery and miracle of Christianity. The Bible emphatically teaches that God has put within each of us as believers the life of his Son. I'm saying to you, John wrote it down and said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, Christ, are you listening? Christ must be experienced in the soul by repentance. Shake your head so I can hear it. I'm saying that Christ must be experienced in the soul by repentance. Don't believe anybody gets saved without repentance. Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'm saying to you, I believe this. I believe Christ must be experienced in the soul by repentance. Repentance, change of mind, change of heart, change of direction. Oh, I'm saying to you, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how do you know he's there? I believe like Earl Hughes, he said, if you're yoked up with him, you can't help but to bump into him every once in a while. I'm telling you, he lives in me. He lives in you if you're saved by the good grace of God. So Christ is experienced in our soul by repentance, but he's enthroned in our heart by faith. He's enthroned in our heart by faith. By the way, I believe the word of God is food for our faith. Romans 10:17, the Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, listen, Christ is experienced in my soul by repentance. He's enthroned in my heart by faith. He's enjoyed in my mind by surrender, and he's exhibited in my life by obedience. Hello? And so it says Christ is a person. He's the resurrected Christ. Is Christ in you? Christ in you, that is a possession. Christ is ours. He is a personal possession. I'm in him, but he is in me. To have Christ in me, listen, I have pardon. I'm no longer under condemnation. Hallelujah. I'm saved by the grace of God. I have the peace that passeth all understanding. I can have purity in my life and power in my life, and heaven began and a life eternal. When life eternal entered, and when Jesus entered in, that's when I received life eternal. Okay, and so the glorious Christian experience is a life of fullness. My life and your life is to be a life of fullness. And John 1:16, he said, and of his fullness have we all received. In the book of Ephesians 3:19, he said that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so you'll note that these verses present us with a life of fullness, which we are called to have. God wants us to have a life of fullness. Amen. A Christ-filled life. That means this. A Christ-filled life carries with it the presence that is divine. Amen. Now you have to help me or we'll be here a while. I'm saying that life that is in you is the divine presence of God. When we got saved, we received a divine nature. Hallelujah. The old Adamic nature was not eradicated, but I got a brand new nature. It's a nature like unto Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so I have divine presence, a presence that is divine, Christ in you. And we also feel that divine pressure upon us. That's divine pressure. He's in me and he moves in my heart and moves in my heart has been stirred and my mind has been challenged and my soul has been refreshed by the moving of God, the pressure of God, the hand of God in my life. And so there's not only that divine presence, a presence that's divine, Christ in you. There's a presence, and by the way, I believe you can feel him. Yeah. Somebody said, well, I know this. Hold on, don't get ahead of me. I know that salvation is not by feeling. But when I got saved, after I trusted Jesus, I felt like I could walk on the cloud. I felt like that God removed a ton of weight off of me. I was redeemed by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. I received a divine presence, but there's a divine pressure in my life. But notice with me again. I'm talking about the fullness of Christ. There's not only divine, the presence that's divine, and there's a pressure upon us that's divine, and so we feel this. We feel the constraint, and we also feel the restraint of the Spirit of the living God. But then we know a power that's divine. It's not my power. It is his power. It's a power that is divine. And so I can link up hands with the Apostle Paul and say, I too can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is not my life, it is his life. And could I say it this way? The glorious Christian experience is a life not only of fullness, but it is a life of fellowship. We have enjoyed fellowship in this meeting because you're saved and I'm saved. Singers are saved. Instrumentalists are saved. And so we can have fellowship. We have fellowship because we have the divine presence of God in us. There's a pressure of God and the power of God. And so I'm saying it is a life of fellowship. Here, there's a fellowship along the horizontal line with all of God's children. Now listen to me. I am not a Calvinist or a 15th cousin of a Calvinist. But I can have, are you listening? You don't have to be as mean as a junkyard dog because somebody else is not doctrinally straight.
Amen. Right.
Hello?
That's right.
We've got folks that, listen, Lord help me. I'm saying this, we have a fellowship because of Christ in you and Christ in me, we can have fellowship one with another.
Right.
Yes. But I'm mainly interested tonight in that vertical aspect of fellowship because of the life of fullness. It leads to a life of fellowship with God. And I say this, fullness leads to fellowship, but equally true is that fellowship alone, by fellowship alone do I maintain that fullness that I've begun to enjoy. And so Christ, here's what happened. Christ comes into an empty human life and fills them with his fullness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
I don't know if that does anything to you. That helps me. I'm saying to you, Christ in you, the fullness of God. That's what I'm talking about tonight. The Christ-filled life. Now, I've got three little things I want to say. I want to talk about the mystery of the Christ-filled life. Now, if you'll notice with me, please, in Colossians 1 and verse number 27, he said it this way. Colossians 1 and 27, he said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm saying to you tonight, you might be friends with someone that's a charismatic, and you have, listen, you can have some fellowship, but you don't endorse their doctrine. And so we come back to this, the mystery of the Christ-filled life. He said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And so, can I say, there's nothing mysterious about a New Testament mystery. It's a secret once hidden, but now fully and forever revealed, since Jesus Christ has stripped it of all the covering. In Colossians 1:26, he talks about the mystery which has been hidden from ages, but now is made manifest unto the saints. Now, Christ in you, the Christian, are you listening? The Christian life is not a solo, it is a duet. Could I say to you, when Jesus moved in, listen, he didn't come in to visit, he came in to stay. And he dwells my heart, and he indwells your heart if you're saved by the good grace of God. And so again, I'm reminded that Christ in you, it's not a solo, but a duet. And so you said, well, we go down to the blacksmith's shop years ago, and you could see the horseshoe in the fire. But it wouldn't be long, you could see the fire in the horseshoe. And you put the sponge in the water, but it's not long until the water is in the sponge. And I'm trying to tell you, dear friend, if Christ is in you, he ought to be seen in your life. And so the first mystery, you know what Jesus said? He said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. And so the first mystery is the incarnation of God in human nature by the human nature of Christ. Now, he's 100% God, 100% man. Now, I see this. Great, Paul talked about it in the book of Timothy. I believe it's 1 Timothy 3:16. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And again, I'm reminded that God was in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And so there is the mystery of the incarnation of Christ. Dr. Simpson dealt with that well last night. Now notice also the second and maybe greater mystery is the incarnation of Christ in the believer. Hello? I'm talking about Jesus Christ in you. Notice with me the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Hold on. Now read not the funny book, I'm reading the Bible. In the book of 2 Corinthians 13:5, he said, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith, prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Christ is either in you or he's not. And so it comes by. The first mystery was Christ for us. That's the basis of our salvation. And the second mystery is Christ in us. That's the basis of our sanctification. And by the way, don't get alarmed about that. That's a good word, sanctification. We're set apart for the Lord. Now, Christ actually and literally and really indwells every true believer. In the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'm looking at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 10. Here's where it reads. He said this, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ be in you. In Romans 8:9, he said, if a man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, Christ liveth in me. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that Christ may dwell in our hearts, how? By faith. And John writing, he said in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Christ in you. What an impressive array of scripture that testifies to the glorious mystery, Christ in you. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad he lives in me. Amen. He arose from the dead. He lives, but he lives in me. and he lives in you. What mysterious glory is the thought that God will give himself to man. He'll enter man's life and fill all the channels with himself, and it is his will to dwell in us. Ye are the temple. That's what Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians 6:16. He said, "Ye are the temple of the living God." As God has said, "I will dwell in them and will walk in them." And notice with me again, Christ is the great ocean fullness of God that enters our life, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he said, "And you're complete in him," Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And so, by the way, are you listening to me? If the Apostle Paul could say, "I no longer live, I'm crucified with Christ, I no longer live," then I want to say to you, he ought to be acting like the indwelling Christ. Hello? If Christ indwells your heart and indwells my heart, we ought to be acting like Christ. Amen. And so every life that Christ is permitted to enter becomes to in him a grander life. And so he must lift us to the level of God's life. And so we've thought about that inner life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ in the glory of that mystery, Christ in you. And so now, could I carry it one step farther? I want to talk a little bit, not only about the mystery of the Christ-filled life, but I'd like to emphasize the might, M-I-G-H-T, the might of the Christ-filled life. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me." I tell you, I can't, but he can. I can't preach, but he can. I can't witness, but he can. I can't be faithful, but he can. I'm saying Christ lives in me. And so I have the power. Now, notice the word "I can." It's a sense of potency, the power to do it. I'm telling you, if God tells you to buy the moon, sign the contract, he's able to pay for it. But if God didn't tell you to buy the car, you better not. Hello? I'm saying, he said, "I can." Now, thank God for the glad "I can" that sounded above the sad "I can't." There's a lot of people say, "Well, I can't. But with Christ, all things are possible. Yes. I'm telling us tonight that this is the power of the Christ-filled life. This is a strength. It's not our strength. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what we do in the inner man. Amen. It's not. Are you listening? It's not your education. I think you ought to get all you can. Amen. Yes. But it's not your education. And it's not your personality. And it's not your ability. It's your availability to Christ. And you're yielding us to him, and Christ lives his life through you. Amen. Yeah. Y'all still here? Amen. I don't want you to quit before I get through. So I want you to notice with me back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3. See, here's a prayer. Here's a prayer of the great apostle Paul for the believers at Ephesus. And he's saying in this prayer, in verse number 14, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God." Now, what's he talking about? I'm saying this, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, we look at two thoughts in the matter of the might of the Christ-filled life. I want to see verse number 14 through 16. It talks about the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm grateful that, hey, the Holy Spirit is God. He's as much God as the Holy Son and the Holy Father. But these men knew the forgiveness of sin. But by the way, they not only needed pardon, they needed power. And I'm saying to you today, I'm afraid that we as believers many times get content with just be pardoned, and we're not desiring for the power of God to be upon us. I used to go to the sword conferences, and I go to the Bible conferences years and years ago, and very seldom you'd ever go to one of these meetings without one of the men of God standing up and preach on the Holy Spirit or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But we don't hear much of that anymore.
That's right.
I'm trying to say to us tonight, these men had forgiveness of sin, but they required not only pardon, but they required power. This is the awful thing about sin. Sin always weakens. And by the way, there's a seed of judgment in every sin that man commits. No man gets by. I'm saying God's Spirit builds up and strengthens and makes us strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Ephesians 6:10. But listen, there's two things that follows. Listen, when we give ourselves unreservedly to the Lord, I want to say, first of all, He fires our soul. Hallelujah to God. He does something down in our soul. He fires our soul. Can I say it this way? It's the matter of recognize this. With a greater, He fires our soul and our desire for a greater love for God and a greater love for souls. And He hungers to know more of God, and His heart's aflame. His heart's aflame with a desire for the souls to find Christ. But He not only fires our heart, He fortifies our spirit. That is this. The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, gives new potentialities. He gives new power so that we stand forth not in our strength, but we stand in His strength. His strength, we're strengthened with the might of the Spirit of God in the inner man. Now, notice Paul says in the second petition, verse number 17 of Ephesians 3, he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And he goes on to talk about what his prayer was. Here is the presence of Christ. It's the real presence. It's the presence of Christ. That's personal Christ. He's the one that rose from the dead. He's the one that led the children of Israel. I'm saying to you, it's a personal Christ, the living Christ, living in us in all the power and all. Let me say this, all the power, but all of the politeness too. We got some folks that think, you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is just being ugly and vulgar and say things that's borderline. I don't believe the Spirit of God's on 1,000 miles of that. If the fullness of Christ is in your life and my life, listen, our life will be characterized by the character of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Not only the power of Christ, but the politeness of Christ. And so I'm trying to get there. But here's a real presence. That's Christ, the person of Christ, the living Christ, living in us in all His power and all His politeness. Now, not only does He his presence is real, but he has a residing presence. He's there. He dwells in us. And by the way, He has a reigning presence in our life. Where He resides, He must reign, and He will have no rival. He'll have no rivals. I'm saying this, there are no equals to sit by His side. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He indwells your heart if you're a child of God. But now notice also the plenitude of God. He said, I want you to be filled with the fullness of God, verse 19. Now, there's the possibility of this filling. I believe that's what Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Now, the possibility of the filling is in Christ Jesus, who is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9. Now, I'm reminded this, that the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, is a command of God, just as much a command as to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. It is a command of God. And by the way, if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, we're not pleasing the Lord.
That's right.
And if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, then Christ is not, the fullness of Christ is not being demonstrated in our life. And so where He resides, He reigns, He has no rivals. And so the plenitude of God, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Until we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13. And then being filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:19. Christ in you, the fullness of God. You said Christ is my Savior, but does He reign and rule in your life? Does He dominate your life? Does He control your life? Let's see again. When we're filled with the fullness of God, it'll be evidenced by the character of God. He said, my prayer is that you might have a life that's filled with Christ. Now, we've talked about the mystery and the might, but let me mention just a little bit about the manifestation. Now, I could preach for a while here. the manifestation of the Christ-filled life. I just believe this. I believe, like the old preacher said, if you is what you was, you ain't. I believe this. When you get saved, you get changed. You said everybody, everybody. And if you wasn't changed, if you wasn't changed, there was no biblical salvation. And so the manifestation of the Christ-filled life, the manifestation of the Christ-filled life has largely departed from the church today.
Right.
Hello?
Climatry. Right.
The manifestation of the Christ-filled life is largely departed from the local church today. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly, but I'm saying this. The average professing Christian displays little indication that he knows anything about a Christ-filled life. He professes much and possesses little. He preaches cream but lives skim milk. He says, but he does not do. Now let's see. What happens when there is a manifestation of the Christ-filled life? Let me just run this down. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Christ-filled life, here's what it is. Christ lives in me. It's not, and by the way, his life saves me. And his life secures me. He is the bread of life that satisfies. He is the light that illuminates my path. He's promised us abundant life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And his life, it's not I. Listen, I'm living, but it's not my life. It's his life. Christ lives in me. His life secures me. I'm anchored in the rock of ages. His life sanctifies me. His life satisfies me. His life stirs my heart. I'm saying, Christ lives in me. But I want to say this. Not only does Christ live in me, Christ loves through me. Can I say it this way? The love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying this, that love that's in us is a forbearing love. It is a love that forbears sins and forbears shortcomings and forbears sinners. That love that's been shed abroad in our heart, his love. It's not me. It's his love. His love in me. It is a forgiving love. It is a love that forgives those that oppose us and forgive those that offend us and forgives those that oppress us. I'm saying it's not I, but Christ who lives in me and Christ who loves through me. And can I say it's not only a forbearing love and a forgiving love, it's a foreign love. Can I say it's the fruit of the Spirit? It's not human. It is holy. It is humbling. It's Christ who loves through us. But it's Christ who labors through us. It's not I, but Christ who labors through us. He perceives the field for my labor and he places me in the field. And by the way, he provides a fellowship for my labor in the field. And he's the one who produces fruit in the field. It's not your outline or my outline. It's not your story or mine. It's not our ability or your ability. It's Christ. It's not I, but Christ who leads me. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. He led me to the right partner over 48 years ago, brother. Hallelujah. He led me, and by the way, he leads us to the right people. Amen. He leads us to the rich pastures. And he leads us, ultimately, he leads us to the royal palace. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it's not I, but that Christ, it's not I, but Christ that liberates me. He liberated me from the bondage of sin that bound my hands and from the burdens that break my heart and for the blunders that blight my hopes. It is not I, but Christ that lives in me. And in John 17, it's not I, but Christ who longs for me. We talk about going to heaven. We talk about the glorious day when the Lord will come and take us to heaven And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the fact that Jesus is coming and he'll take us to glory to be with him. But he up there is saying, my will, my desire is that they be with me. So it's not I, but Christ. And so here's the manifestation of the Christ-filled life. Back to the book of Galatians, please. Galatians 5 and verse number 22. The Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so the manifestation of the Christ-filled life, it is this. The Christ-filled life can be seen in our love. There'll be a new constraint, a new cheer, a new composure, a new conduct, new confidence, a new courteousness, and a new control. Christ in you. Christ liveth in me. He gave his life for me. He took my life from me. He lives his life in me. The Christ-filled life is when we can say, it's no longer I, but Christ. It's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. I'd like for people to be helped and blessed, encouraged and revived. But I'm fully conscious that it's not I, but it is Christ that produces a fruit. Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered. And he said something like this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And God said, I'd like to give you a lesson in mathematics. 1 + 1 = 1. And our problem tonight, or one of our problems, is our unwillingness to be one with others.
Right.
And therefore, the Spirit of God is grieved and the work of God is hindered. I love the Lord tonight because he first loved me. I remember the time when I was empty, without God, and without hope. Yes. I remember the time that the Spirit of God brought conviction to my heart. By the way, that's another little word that's very important. No one gets saved apart from conviction. He came to me when I could not come to him. I didn't know. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. The preacher preached on the second coming and said, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, I didn't know that. I was a member of a Methodist church in good standing. He said, if the Lord were to come back tonight, are you ready to meet? I didn't know anything about that. But I know there was uneasiness in my soul. And it was though as the Spirit of God said to me, whosoever will may come. And I said, I believe it will. And I came to the altar and received Jesus as my Savior.
Amen.
Now hold on. You said, I didn't get saved that way. You might not have had the same circumstances, but you got saved the same way. Because God didn't have two ways.
Amen.
Just has one way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh to the Father but by me. We're living in troubled days. And folks are so confused. And people who are hurting financially,
yes,
losing homes and businesses, and churches that are suffering and having to cut mission support, and pastors are having to go back on the job because churches can't afford to pay for them. Jesus said to his disciples when they were disturbed, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, don't be troubled about a person to believe in. And he said, don't be troubled about a place to live in. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
That's right.
And he said, don't be troubled about a promise to rest in. He said, if I'm going, I'm going to come back. And don't be troubled about a pathway to walk in. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ in you. Christ liveth in me. And he lives in you. I want the fullness of his life to be seen in me. Would you bow with us for prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for this privilege to stand here. What an awesome responsibility. Dear Lord, we give ourselves to thee again tonight. Oh, I pray that you'd help us to be willing to die to self, that Jesus Christ might have the preeminence in our life. And may we experience personally the Christ-filled life. Thank you for all you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.